is Bloomberg Surveillance.
I think there are some signs, some early signs, that manufacturing is rebounding, including in the U.S.
An investment outlook beyond 3 or 4 years, to me, is more, Barry, like a religion or a philosophy than a forecast.
This economy is just stuck. It used to be stuck above 2%. Now it seems to be stuck in this 1.75 to 2.25 type growth rate.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Michael McKee and Tom Keene, Bloomberg Surveillance. Barry Ritholtz in for Mr. McKee today. Maybe we'll get him tomorrow as well. And on to Friday. It'll be an exciting week of Barry Ritholtz here at Bloomberg.
Persuade him.
If we can, you know, because people twist talk my to arm. People. In that, markets on the move, futures up 11, Dow futures up 97. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning, brought to you by Cohn Resnick Accounting Tax Advisory. To keep your business on top of issues in the evolving renewable energy market, it takes dedicated industry experts like Cohn Resnick. Find out more at CohnResnick.com, CohnResnick, CohnResnick.com. This is going to be an important discussion. We do economics, finance, investment, and international relations. What we really do, and the word that we use is insight. Unfortunately, there is the illusion, or I would even say the delusion of insight, in that you've got to be careful and how you interpret the insight. This, of course, from the Daniel Kahneman in his iconic work, Kahneman and Tversky, out of Princeton, with Wharton, Philip Tetlock, Annenberg Professor on Democracy and Citizenship, and particularly Philip Tetlock on how we communicate in this digital overloaded world. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about the illusion of insight. We think we're getting smarter listening to Bloomberg Surveillance. Are we fooling ourselves?
Well, you know, it's really hard to tell whether someone knows what they're talking about. So we use proxies. We say, well, does this person have high status? We say, is this person entertaining? Is this person loquacious? There are a lot of proxy cues, but typically I think what your listeners care about the most is whether they have some insights into the future that could guide their investment decisions, their business decisions. And the only way to ascertain that is to keep rigorous score, and that is something very few places do.
We do it internally at Bloomberg. It was invented by myself and Emily Haas-Godsell, and Rachel Wurspan does it every day. Now, and the basic idea for us is to work off the classic research of Edelman, Richard Edelman, and the people there that look at expertology in good experts and bad experts. We are drowning in that distinction right now in our political debate, and some would say in our business media debate. How do you, as the pro, discern between good experts and bad experts?
Well, the work I've been doing with the U.S. intelligence community over the last several years involves having people participate in forecasting tournaments and asking them very large numbers of questions over large spans of time and keeping rigorous score. One of the big mistakes people make is they conclude that someone is a bad forecaster if they make one bad call, if they're on the wrong side of maybe on a big call. And even the very best forecasters are, of course, often on the wrong side of maybe. So you need to keep it, good judgment is an aggregate thing. It requires a lot of patience. That doesn't lend itself to most media formats.
So, Professor, I learned from your earlier work on expert political judgment that the average so-called expert isn't an especially good forecaster. And then you updated that work in your most recent book, Super Forecasters, where you said there are some basic things all forecasters can do to become better, smarter prognosticators. Give us a few examples of what those of us who toil in the markets and the economy can do to think more intelligently about the future.
Well, I think you had an interesting quote from somebody at the very beginning of this piece, in which he was saying that an investment someone who claims they can see out 4 or 5 years, that's essentially philosophy. It's not forecasting. And that's more or less what my earlier work found. It was that it's very, very hard for even the very smartest people to do appreciably better than chance when you're looking out that far. It is possible, though, for smart people who get a lot of practice at it,
right,
to make better probability judgments in the several-month range.
Okay, we've got a bad connection right now with Professor Tetlock. We're going to reconnect. Ken Fellio, who's so good at this, is going to try to reconnect and get a better signal. Barry, I think we need to say without question that the way to get smarter, and this is a tough business, folks, it's not easy. I mentioned Daniel Kahneman. And Kahneman and Tversky, which changed how all of us think day to day about behavioral finance and how wrong we are in what we trust and what we guess at. The modern book is Thinking Fast and Slow by Professor Kahneman.
Yeah, I discussed that with Professor Tetlock. He was our guest on Masters in Business last weekend, and he told the story of having met Danny Kahneman and discussing how when he began to quantify experts, he really wasn't impressed with what he saw. And Kahneman, just off the cuff, said, I would imagine the average expert is no better than a well-read New York Times person, and he turned out to be right.
Yeah, and as we try to get Professor Tetlock on, Barry, one of my gospel things, and we do this, folks, every day on surveillance, and thank you so much for your support, I love when experts are wrong. I learn more from somebody smart. I learn more from some. Well, let's bring Professor Tetlock back. We're talking here, Professor. Thank you for coming back with us about the idea of somebody that I believe is a good guest, a good expert. I learn more when they're wrong than when they're right. Discuss that research.
Oh, I think there's a deep truth to that. A very concrete example would be some of the controversy that surrounded Nate Silver, who had, of course, a great reputation from some of the previous presidential and congressional races. And he made the comment in the late summer of 2015 that he thought the number of people who would take Donald Trump's candidacy seriously would be roughly comparable to the number of people who thought the moon landings were faked. So he put the probability somewhere between 0 and 5%, I believe, and a lot of people jumped on Nate Silver for that. Now, even a perfectly calibrated forecaster, and I'll say in a minute what a perfectly calibrated forecaster is. Even a perfectly calibrated forecaster is going to be wrong 5% of the is going to be wrong at least 5% of the time when they say 5%. It's a difficult thing for people to appreciate, but you can't judge the accuracy of probability judgments based on the individual forecast. You can only do that if the forecaster is really reckless and says 100% and it doesn't happen, or 0% and it does. And in that case, you know the forecaster's flat out wrong, and the forecaster's taken a big reputational risk and is lost. But in the other cases, it's going to require some more nuance, and that's a tricky thing that people have a hard time wrapping their heads around.
So what should those of us who think about the economy, who think about markets, and are occasionally called upon to make a prediction out 6 months or a year, what should we do to improve that process to become better forecasters?
I think you want people to feel accountable. So insofar as the people who come on shows make vague verbiage forecasts, they think that they say, I think there's a distinct possibility the market's going to go over 2,200 by blah, blah. People who make those kinds of claims, they sound meaningful, but in close inspection, they're very close to meaningless, because distinct possibility is one of those things you've got a perfect hedge. If it happens, you can say, hey, I told you distinct possibility. If it doesn't happen, you can say, hey, I just said it was possible. So it sounds meaningful. People nod. They think they've learned something, but on close inspection, there's absolutely no way to monitor or keep track. So a better way to go is to pressure people to make more precise estimates, even though it hurts, it's hard, it's potentially embarrassing, but it's the best way to learn.
Beware weasel words.
Speaking of potentially embarrassing, let's come back and talk to the professor about our presidential derby. It has been sport. Philip Tetlock with us, Annenberg professor, now university professor in democracy and citizenship at Wharton, and then somebody has written some very important books on thinking about really what do we do about certitude. And is Mark Twain, John Tucker, was one of our first guests on Bloomberg on the Economy. It was a few years ago.
I heard it killed him.
It was a book tour. I was like, it wasn't Huckleberry Finn. It was something else. But as Mr. Twain would say, the certitude of the second rate, maybe that's a gospel of surveillance as we listen with respect to Professor Tetlock. We'll return with Philip Tetlock and look forward to some of the political certitude that is out there. Barry, it reminds me of the rule of 30, which is abused every single day. We take a sample size of 4 and say, we believe.
Right.
And that really doesn't work all that well. Futures up 11, Dow futures up 101. Janet Yellen still influencing the market with yields set lower from 12 noon yesterday. Oil, $38.77, the American barrel. And now to the news in New York. Here's Michael Barr.
Tom, Barry, thank you very much. The U.S. is trying to give support to allies in Eastern Europe who are increasingly concerned about a more aggressive Russia. The Army plans to announce today the deployment of an armored combat brigade along with their equipment to Eastern Europe next February as part of the ongoing effort to rotate troops in and out of the region. The three Republican presidential candidates now say they won't commit to support whoever the party nominates. In September, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and John Kasich said they would pledge their support. A federal judge in Oakland, California, is scheduled to hear arguments today over whether to block a new federal law that requires sex offenders to have unique identifiers in their passports. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Tom, Barry?
And Michael, thanks so much. Again, a remove the market. Finally, the bond market pauses, but the two-year yield, 0.7843. Janet Yellen really moving markets. Yields lower, bond prices higher over the last 18 hours. Barry Ritholtz, Tom Keene with Philip Tetlock of Wharton, Bloomberg Surveillance.
Surveillance brought to you by NYCB. Asking about their My Community Interest Checking with free NYCB online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit NYCBFamily.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, breaking economic news, crossing the Bloomberg. Here's Vinny Del Giudice with the latest. Vinny.
Karen, on the labor market, the ADP National Employment Report showing a gain of 200,000 in March, a gain of 200,000, topping Wall Street forecasts. It sets the stage for Friday's government employment report. Economists there also looking for in the neighborhood of 200,000. Again, the ADP report, private payrolls March up 200,000. Karen, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Vinny Del Giudice. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk now for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Futures are adding to yesterday's gains. Dow futures currently higher by 101 points. S&P's gain 11 and NASDAQ futures rise by 32. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.83%. European markets are also rising, led by 1.9% gains in France. After the Bellus Knight Restoration Hardware Q1 adjusted EPS and revenue view trailed estimates and Verint Q4 adjusted EPS missed estimates, shares are down 14% pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Lululemon higher by 5.7% pre-market after its results, while Paychex EPS was in line. In deal news, State Street agrees to buy GE Asset Management for up to $485 million in cash. Also in other news, Valiant launches credit line amendment, repeats filing plans, and says comfortable with current liquidity position. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Compass Mineral cut the hold at BB&T. Apple raised outperform at Cowen, price target 135. Verint Systems cut down to perform at Credit Suisse. AIG raised to buy at Janney. And Allscripts raised overweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Barry.
And Karen, thanks so much. Appreciate that this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Invesco. Do the day's headlines have you searching for more investment views? Invesco's experts can help. Find out the latest thought leadership at Invesco blog. Visit Invesco.com/US to subscribe. I had a wonderful time with Invesco yesterday. Learned a lot about value, dividends, and this interesting phrase, deep value, from Keith Holt and the value team at Invesco, and thank them for their continued support of Bloomberg Surveillance and what Michael and I do every day. Barry Ritholtz with us. Philip Tetlock with us, who long ago and far away, not 52 years ago, read The Medium is the Message, Understanding Media, the Extensions of Band, Marshall McLuhan. Have we jumped the shark, Professor Tetlock? Are we at the point where the medium is the message and it completely reforms and restructures our presidential politics day to day?
Well, that's a big question. The conventional wisdom's obviously been really rattled by the Donald Trump phenomenon. I guess that's what you're probably referring to. Things have changed a lot. Trump was able to tap into deep resentment. He was able to get away with really pretty primitive debating tactics and wasn't punished for them. Donald Trump's style of debating is pretty much the opposite end of the continuum from the style of debating we try to encourage in forecasting tournaments, which value precision questioning and precision estimates. And
yeah, well, we're not seeing that. Who's
all that?
So from where you said,
you're a different universe.
Who is the adult in the room that's going to get us back to a better discourse?
Who is the adult? Oh boy, you asked tough questions, Tom. I mean, people in the GOP are pointing to Paul Ryan and John Kasich as the presumptive adults in the room in that political party right now.
Well, clearly John Kasich, at least on the debate stage, has appeared like the adult. The problem is he's been rewarded for that with a third-place finish everywhere outside his home state. Are we looking to politics, are we looking in the wrong place for adult discussions about important issues?
Perhaps so at the moment. But when you look at the bigger picture, the best forecasters, for example, in our tournaments are putting close to a 70% probability now on Hillary being the next president of the United States. So once she's sworn in, this will be a distant memory. And the question will be, what has the Republican Party in particular learned from its 2016 experience? Now, of course, the very best forecasters, like Nate Silver, was somewhat off the mark early on, and the best forecasters in our tournament may be off the mark also. When you say 70% probability, that means there's a 30% probability of other things.
So let's talk about that with more important issues than politics. What I find fascinating about your work is how the intelligence community has sort of thrown aside their old way of doing things and approached you to say, we need better ways to think about uncertain events. So let's talk about that. What is the intelligence community learning from the mistakes that have been made in the past?
Well, the intelligence community works at ground zero in the blame game political culture. So if they make a wrong call, they're going to get blasted one way or the other. And the wrong calls can take one of two forms. They can have a catastrophic false negative, such as 9/11. They'll be totally condemned. They'll be roundly condemned for it. There'll be presidential commission. There'll be congressional investigations. And the one lesson that an intelligence officer would learn from that experience is whatever mistake I'm going to make, don't make the mistake I just made, which means don't make a false negative. That sets you up for making the opposite mistake, a false positive. Now, they made a false positive mistake with weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They got blasted for that, and there were investigations and commissions. And what does an intelligence officer conclude from all that? Well, whatever mistake I'm going to make, don't make the mistake I made last. Mm-hmm. So they get caught up in this kind of blame game ping pong, which is not really learning. It's threshold shifting. It's shifting my tolerance for making one mistake or the other rather than learning in a deep and methodical way from history. The way to learn in a deep and methodical way from history is to make explicit judgments
about
the domains in which you're well calibrated and not, and proceed that way.
Professor, thank you so much for being with us today. Philip Tetlock is from Wharton Super Forecasters. It's a hugely successful book on the experts. We really appreciate his perspective as we try to find you the best insight across economics, finance, and investment.
Still ahead, the all due respect highlight brought to you by Land Rover. The team meant nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure. The Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverTriState.com for special offers during the only adventure sales event, Land Rover Above and Beyond.